Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is Saturday, November 23rd, 2019. It's the day before Survivor Series, NXT TakeOver War Games is going on as we speak, and I wanted to make sure that this preview show, prediction show got out so that you guys could take a listen and get yourself geared up for tomorrow night's, or tonight's, depending on when you're listening, Survivor Series event. And it is heavy on triple threats, so if you love triple threats, you are going to get more than your fill for that show, which is filled with just hours, literally hours of triple threat matches when you put it all together, and some intriguing ones as well. As much as I may have downplayed or critiqued this whole storyline of brand supremacy nonsense, of which I still 120% stand by that it's complete nonsensical garbage, this should be, from a wrestling perspective, all that you can eat. I mean, this is a buffet that you, underpaid and over-delivered. You're going to get, I think, high level of quality in terms of the match star ratings, particularly with the AJ Styles, Roderick Strong, and Shinsuke Nakamura triple threat. The women's triple threat with Shayna Baszler, Bayley, and Becky Lynch is, I think, positioned to be one of the top matches of the night, and I'm looking forward to that match probably the most. The 5-on-5-on-5, yeah, I did not stutter. It's 5-on-5-on-5. Times two matches I'm really not a fan of. Elimination style is fun when it's 5-on-5 and the match actually makes sense to happen. But in this case, I've just kind of conceded and go, whatever, this will not matter come Monday night when they're in Chicago. So, look, I think it's going to be a good pay-per-view, but I think we're all going to be worn out of the triple threat and brand supremacy garbage. So anyway, Ashley is with us today, and we covered, obviously, the predictions for Survivor Series. We also get into whether or not we think we'll see CM Punk during this three-night event of War Games and then Survivor Series and Monday Night Raw. And we don't completely rule it out. I will tell you that and how it could happen. I think Ashley came up with a really damn good idea of how it could possibly happen and how to get some heel heat out of it. So we cover that and a whole lot more, including, could The Undertaker show up? How does Daniel Bryan fare against The Fiend? Does he have a chance in hell of winning? Does Rey Mysterio have a snowball's chance in hell of winning? We cover all of these questions and just so much more. But thank you guys again for joining the WWE Podcast. This is a show that's produced six times a week for you guys, and NXT's covered, AEW's covered, Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views, you name it, it's here, Wrestling Nostalgia, and this is a show made by a fan for fans. Don't forget, if you want to get an ad-free experience, head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast, and you can get a completely ad-free listening experience, as well as shout-outs, getting on the show, video shout-outs, mentions, special content, blogs, and articles that are only available to those on Patreon, so lots of special goodies for you waiting over there, and it's only $1 a month. I'm literally $1 a month to start off. So head on over there, or you just use the free feed and you deal with the ads, but you get an ad free, or you get a free experience. And that's available on Apple, Google, Spotify, TuneIn, anywhere. I'll just leave it at that. So, alrighty. Well, guys, this is a big show, special show. Always excited to have Ashley on. I know you guys love her. I have always had great chemistry with her. She's a mainstay of the show, and she's back, and we're discussing Survivor Series, and we did a little bit of math, as you'll hear at the very end of the show. I also catch her right before the TLC pay-per-view, so we had a long string of being able to do preview shows together, prediction shows, and that string will continue into TLC as I talk to her the day before TLC. Which is December 14th or 13th. I can't remember. So if you like Ashley and I on prediction shows, well, the gods of wrestling have aligned once again to bring you a prediction show of her and I together. So, alrighty, well, I think that's it. I think we're ready to get going, and we're ready to talk Survivor Series predictions with Ashley and myself. All right, welcome to the WWE Podcast on this Survivor Series preview show when we're going to go through all of our predictions. We've got some big-ticket items to talk about that happened during this crazy week of wrestling. And I welcome back Ashley to the show. And we were on our cycle for a while of doing preview shows, doing prediction shows. We broke that in the last month or so, and now we're back on it. So, Ashley, welcome to the show. Always a blast to have you here.
Yes, it's so great to be back, and I'm happy we're back on our schedule. It's fun doing the prediction shows with you. I'm looking up now still to see if we're on track for TLC as well, so I'll let you know later on, but I'm happy to be here talking to you tonight.
Yeah, definitely, and yes, that's your homework assignment, please. I'm very curious to see if we are now going to be stuck on our preview cycle, which wasn't a bad thing. It just was pretty funny the way that it happened to land every single month. But so we're going to get into the Survivor Series deal. There's so much to dissect. I mean, and yes, there isn't going to be a whole lot of positivity, at least on my end, just from this whole structure of the Survivor Series, but there are some matches that I'm really, really looking forward to. So there's definitely good with the bad here. But before I do, I know that you do a podcast beyond this that is live on Facebook. So let everyone know what that is, where they can find it, and a little bit about what the show is.
Yes, I do. It is called Wrestle Rewind. We air live every Thursday at 8:30. So if you want to watch us live, it's a video stream. Feel free to check us out. You can chime in with us, either agree, disagree, whatever you feel like, whatever comments you have, or just listen to us on podcasts later on, either on Apple, Spotify, pretty much anywhere you can listen to podcasts. We are there, so feel free to check us out.
Definitely. I've watched you guys the last few weeks, and you guys are pretty good. I mean, I can say that with all seriousness. Like, you guys are pretty good. I like the little setup you've got. The topics are good. You guys seem to have good chemistry. I would like them to center you a little bit more in the video. It seems like you're always off to, like, just the side where I'm like, I think I can see Ashley, you know, like, but
I know. We're working on it. It's funny because a little peek behind the curtain really quick. We film in Tommy's spare guest room. So we're kind of limited on space for now. He's moving soon, so I think all that's going to change in the near future. So right now we're limited on space. So I really don't want to be right on top of my little partner there, Smokey Z, so I try to keep my space. But, when I go back and watch it, sometimes I'm like, wow, you can barely see me. So I definitely try to keep that in mind. But, yeah, sometimes I just fade off there on the side.
All right, so the secret has now been revealed as to why Ashley is just in the video.
Right.
Okay, so now it makes total sense.
It all makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. See, you're pulling the curtain. You're like David Copperfield pulling the curtain back. So.
Right.
All right. Well, Ashley, look. This is a week in which I view this, and maybe I'm a little bit preemptive on this, but I view this sometimes as the unofficial start to WrestleMania, because when you look back at previous years of the last 10 to 15 years, there have been at times seeds planted at Survivor Series that led all the way to WrestleMania. So, I mean, personally, that's how I look at it. I don't have a lot of faith sometimes in the booking team to go that far, but do you see this is a pay-per-view that's, you know, maybe something like that could happen on tomorrow night?
Maybe. Honestly, I've never really looked at it like that, in that perspective before. But as you were saying that, I immediately thought of Sting. So that was kind of like his little launching point there. And then I believe he faced Triple H later on at that year's WrestleMania. So that you may be onto something there. Honestly, I don't know. For WrestleMania's sake, I don't think so, just because I think right now their main focus is just on tomorrow, and then I kind of feel like starting on Monday we're going to get a clean slate. So honestly, I don't see any of these feuds, or I don't foresee anything starting tomorrow night. But I hope I'm wrong. I very well could be wrong. Do you have any idea?
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't. I just, in years past, as you said, Sting was number one. Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker was another one back in 2010, I think it was. So there have been, and but again, these are matches that are, you know, once in a lifetime, you know, legendary top 10 matches that you would foresee going from this point to WrestleMania. But yeah, again, do I think that's going to happen? Probably not. So I guess an easier question would be, what are some of the matches that you're actually looking forward to? And we'll get to predictions, but just off the top, like, hey, like, this is a match, or these are the matches that I really am looking forward to seeing.
I think first off, I'm really looking forward to the triple threat match between Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ, and Roderick Strong. I think that's gonna just steal the show. And I'm very curious. I'm not gonna give away my take yet, but I'm curious to see who they give the nod to with this one. I'm wondering if it's gonna be a clean sweep like it was last year, but this year have NXT just win all the matches. Again, we'll go more in depth into that later, but that could kind of lead to my pick there. But yeah, I think that one for sure, I'm definitely looking forward to. And I'm honestly looking forward to the Becky Lynch, Shayna Baszler, and Bayley match as well. I think that's just going to – I think that'll be right up there with the AJ and Roderick Strong Shinsuke match.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I noticed you didn't mention any of the 5-on-5-on-5-on-5-on-5 matches, which we'll get to, of course. And I'm with you there. I would put the AJ Styles match, Roderick Strong and Shinsuke, probably in my number two. My number one, probably, that I'm looking forward to the most would be the women's triple threat between Shayna Baszler, Becky, and Bayley. I mean, that was up there, too. My number three would probably be probably Brock Lesnar and Rey Mysterio, believe it or not. Just out of my own curiosity as to just the way Paul Heyman sells things. It's just like, here, Paul, take my money. I mean, seriously, this guy, when he
says, do you say either a miracle or a massacre? Yep. Like, just beautiful.
God, beautiful. I'm just like, he brings tears to my eyes the way he cuts promos. This guy's a damn genius. So yes, it's going to be a miracle or a massacre, and I am really, I mean, I think it's going to be a massacre, and my bloodlust is hoping that it's a massacre, just because that's just what I want to see from Brock Lesnar, because that's what he is. So anyway, giving away that prediction isn't exactly giving away a prediction, as is a spoiler. I just see no way that Rey Mysterio can win that. So yeah, I don't foresee miracle, but again, that's never giving anything away. So before we get into some of the actual predictions for Survivor Series, what were some of the big things from this week? So much to really pick from. I mean, you really have the NXT invasion every single time that there's a WWE Raw or SmackDown show. We have The Fiend, and we have Daniel Bryan and that whole story. And Daniel Bryan getting now attacked again this week with the mandible claw. I guess that's what they're going to call it until they find another name for it. So what were some of the big things this week that you took away and wanted to discuss?
Yeah, I honestly think they've done very well with NXT. Look, I don't think any of us really are fans of the whole brand versus brand concept. But I think so far they actually have protected NXT, and I think they've done very well with everyone who's been involved. So I'm very happy with that. WWE could have very easily let all these guys come in and squash them. I mean, and don't get me wrong, you know, tomorrow, I hope this doesn't happen, of course, but they could, you know, do the exact opposite of what I'm praising them for now and squash NXT. But I don't see that. I think things are completely different now for this year's Survivor Series. I think NXT has a fair shot tomorrow night, and I think that just the build up to Survivor Series, and especially this week with the go home shows, NXT really shine, and people like Rhea Ripley and Adam Cole, I think they really stood out, and Keith Lee on SmackDown. And it's interesting because they were on SmackDown and the Chicago crowd was chanting for NXT. I don't know if that's just Chicago being Chicago or if that's just a sign that NXT is over and people and the fan base in general is solidly behind NXT. So that was kind of interesting when I was watching SmackDown. But I'm kind of like okay with the buildup. I guess it is what it is. I think there was a little too many just all-out brawls. But I'm happy that Survivor Series is here tomorrow so we can kind of get through this and then just have NXT go back to doing their own thing in their own world, and then just having SmackDown and Raw actually be able to utilize talent on their respective shows and just go forward from here and lead towards the WrestleMania season coming up. Because we're, I think, what, 5 months away from WrestleMania already or something like that?
Yeah.
It's insane. Time flies, but
it's
yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I always view it as, I mean, yeah, could things happen tomorrow night that lead to a WrestleMania match? Maybe, again, to your point, probably not. But, you know, the very first Raw after the new year is always a big show, because that puts you right on the road to WrestleMania. So we are a month away, really. I mean, because then it'll be the end of December, and then boom, you're right into January, and it's road to WrestleMania. Yeah. So we are really close, closer than you really think, you know? So, but to your point about this past week, it was all about NXT. The Keith Lee and Braun Strowman interaction was interesting. Again, it may be interesting from the perspective of, oh, a new matchup. I've never seen this, never thought about this. And yeah, that's cool. But as you said, at the end of this, everyone's going back to their own worlds. This means nothing other than bragging rights. And how can anyone claim brand supremacy unless they have a clean sweep? Even if they did, that doesn't matter, because we saw what happened last year, beyond the pre-show match, that
right.
SmackDown got swept clean and it meant zero. So for this whole brand supremacy thing, I've ranted about it for weeks now. It means zero. But I think NXT, more than anybody, NXT right now is the baby face in this whole thing, and I think SmackDown and Raw are the heels. I mean, because NXT is the cool brand. They feel like an anti-brand, even though they're all under the same umbrella of WWE. It's a genius move. So regardless, win, lose, or draw tomorrow night, and I think they'll win probably one of the bigger matches, and I'll leave it at that. But I think they're going to get a solid, a clean victory, a big victory, a memorable one, and that is what's going to make, I think, the difference here is not just that win, but also just getting the exposure on one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year, Survivor Series. NXT has gotten a lot more eyeballs on them than had they not just had this invasion angle and had this triple threat match, because they would have just been sitting on Wednesday nights and they wouldn't have gotten in front of eyeballs that just go, I don't really know what NXT is. But now we're forced to watch it, even though, you know, people who aren't watching it are now watching NXT and may tune in now to Wednesday night to see these guys and gals fight. And that's, I think, the ultimate win here is exposure for NXT, regardless of even if they lost all three matches, or all four matches, whatever. So right now the big win here is NXT and getting the exposure that they deserve.
Yeah, exactly. And you kind of just stated there what I was about to say myself. And I think this week showed that I'm not one of those people who really reads into ratings at all, but this week was interesting in that NXT finally won the first week against AEW. And again, of course, you know, that there was a lot of like asterisks with that. You know, you had stars from Raw and SmackDown showing up, and obviously there's a lot of hype and build up to it. So of course, if any week they were going to win, it would be this week, or you would hope so. But I think obviously next week is going to be more telling in that sense to see if this momentum can continue for them. And I think regardless, this is a win-win for WWE. They kind of double dipped. They got all of their main stars into all three of their main shows after the draft and the build-up to Survivor Series. So it was just perfect timing. And I think this was like ideal, because next week, everyone knows NXT. If you've been watching Raw and SmackDown, you've seen these guys, and hopefully, and I think it will, the majority of people who recently tuned in this week will be invested in Adam Cole and Roderick Strong in the Undisputed Era and Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler and all of them going forward. So I think this is a win-win, regardless of, like you said, what happens to the individual matches tomorrow night.
It really is, and that's a good point too. The real telltale sign will be not necessarily this week, because AEW doesn't have that advantage, doesn't have that luxury of pulling from other brands that are more successful to bring into their, you know, their redheaded stepchild brand to get more exposure, bringing stars into that brand, which inherently will up the ratings. So now that they don't have that next week, assuming we all go back to, you know, normal world, is what happens after that? Because was this whole, to me, this whole thing, this whole build has just been nothing more than a big advertisement for NXT. And look, I'm not bashing them, because if I was trying to build a third brand, That's good to do. That's what
then
you
why
need.
Wouldn't you?
Exactly. Yeah. You have Big Brother and Big Sister brand. Why wouldn't you want to expose your little, you know, redhead stepchild, for, you know, lack of a better term, to those brands to get more eyeballs on the product that you want to also build? So that is, to me, what the goal was. It's just been nothing more than one big infomercial for NXT, but that's fine because they're running a business and that's what they're trying to do, and I support that.
Me too.
Yeah, so one more thing I didn't ask you, and I have to ask you before I forget, is do you think there is any, I think you're about to know where I'm going to go here, is there any possibility at all that you could see, because we haven't talked since this happened, of CM Punk, like, at all, look, I mean, they're in Chicago for four nights, and now three nights after, you know, NXT TakeOver, and then and War Games, rather, and then you have Survivor Series, and then you have Monday Night Raw. What do you think? I mean, is there any possibility? The thing is, I don't think there really is a great opportunity or a great chance given Punk's answers, although he likes to be cryptic and likes to, you know, drive people the wrong way and put, you know, fake news out there or make people think. And he's good at mind games with all this kind of stuff. But I will say, I don't think Punk's going to show up. That's my short answer. But I do think that during matches that people don't give a damn about, you're going to hear CM Punk chants probably, you know, heavy throughout the night. I think there's going to be a lot of CM Punk chants, people going nuts for CM Punk and the possibility of him coming out. What do you think?
You know, it's funny. Me and my friends were talking about this on Thursday. I think there's every part of me wants to say yes, but I think that WWE is expecting people to kind of see that and kind of expect that in a weird way, if that makes sense. So I think just because all the stars are aligning, and Renee even mentioned it on backstage earlier this week, I don't think that happens. If anything, I could see, well, I take that back. So my initial response is, and my short answer is no. But if they do go that route, I could see either one or two things happening. Either his music playing and a heel coming out like a Baron Corbin. Because what other way to get just a stupid amount of heat than having CM Punk's music play in Chicago and having like a Baron Corbin come out, or just somebody you want to get like massively over? Like, that would just be, you know, just insanely just heat magnetizing right there. So I don't think, because CM Punk mentioned on backstage this week that he didn't really know who Baron Corbin was. So I could just see if WWE wants to have fun with it, maybe something like that happening. Or if he does show up, like you mentioned earlier, I could see, if they do want to start something here or plant a seed, him coming out and interrupting any, maybe a Seth Rollins segment, or interrupting the match and coming out and costing Seth the match, or just interacting with Seth in some form or fashion. So I could see if he does make an appearance, him doing something like that. But my initial response would be no, just because if he is even open to coming back and this is something they've actually been discussing, I think they're going to want to hold off for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, that could be a really, really good way to get a heel over and massive heat, is to play the music. The fans lose their minds. I mean, the pop,
I know,
that
I would
happens,
jump.
I'm going to sit at home and jump. I mean,
yeah,
it would the internet would explode and the building would explode, only to have somebody else come out and just smile all the way to the ring. People would, I mean, I think there would be drinks thrown at the person. I mean, it would be amazing to watch. I would be pissed sitting at home, but that's what they're going for, and I get it. I mean, I think back to, it's happened before a couple times, big times I can remember, when Austin walked out and his music played, and this is when Austin was gone, and I think Flair came out, or maybe it was Batista, somebody else came out and they got massive heat. The other time was Bret Hart, when Shawn Michaels was in Montreal.
Oh, yes.
And I think this was 2006, 2007. I forget what it was. And Michaels came out, and he was fighting Hulk Hogan at the time. I remember they were in a program.
Yeah.
So maybe it was 05. So you remember, he came out in Montreal. Montreal was crapping all over him. And Michaels, even though he's a babyface at the time,
he just played into it.
He's like, "Who's your daddy, Montreal?" And then he sang "Oh Canada" and just was an obnoxious heel. And then he talked about Bret Hart and how he screwed him and how he'd do it again. And then my God, when you hear the guitar strings, listen to that crowd. It's one of the biggest pops you'll ever hear in your life, and. Then Michaels obviously was a complete hoax, built by Michaels.
Oh, it was so great.
Something like that, I'm fine with that if you want to piss off the fans, if it ultimately leads to somehow Punk coming back, but also building a heel. So now I'm getting myself all hyped up for this, of which I think nothing will happen. I think there's about a 95% chance of neither one happening. But they're in Chicago. Like you said, it's kind of damn coincidental. You have Punk kind of back. He's in a contract with Fox, and yet this program that he's on, WWE Backstage, is on Fox. So I don't know. I would say no, but I would not rule this out at all.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And honestly, like, as much as I want him to come back, I don't want it to be right now, just because he's on our minds. I want him to do his backstage appearances for the show, obviously, however frequently he's going to. And then if he's going to make his return, like, in ring, it'd be maybe a month or 2 months down the road where it's not as fresh, and he's not as freshly on our mind as he is right now. So, if he hadn't shown up this week, my answer would probably be very different. Right now, just kind of hold off on it.
Totally agree. I would want this, and I really believe that Punk is not ready to return into the ring. I know that it's going to happen. I don't think it's a matter of if. I do believe it's a when, given that he's now dipped his toe back into wrestling and dipped his toe back into specifically WWE programming, even though he's not a WWE contracted employee, he's with Fox. So I think it's when, but as you said, I don't want it now. And I don't believe the Rumble's a good place either, because you can't have him come in the Rumble just to what, lose? And you can't have him win, because to have him in the main event to win a championship, he's 41 years old, as he said. As much as cool as that would be, it's about the
youth.
He
doesn't need it.
No. And what's he going to do, work a full-time schedule, go house show? No, he's not doing that.
Right.
So the Rumble, to me, is out. It makes no sense for him to be in the Rumble match itself. So, but as you said, so bottom line is, I think we will see CM Punk between now and WrestleMania 36. I think at some point, even if it's at WrestleMania 36, we will see CM Punk. Would you agree, or would you say maybe overly optimistic?
No, I agree with you 100%.
All right. Well, now that I'm getting like all myself all hyped up about this happening, and it probably will not
tomorrow
night. I mean, now I'm all excited. All right. Well, let's get into the actual show. Let's get into the predictions for the pay-per-view. And right at the top here, as I go down the list, Brock Lesnar versus Rey Mysterio for the WWE Championship. Ashley, is there any chance Rey Mysterio wins?
I think there's like a maybe 1% chance he wins, because you can never say never. But no, I think this is just going to be just a demolishing of Rey Mysterio. He is such a great seller. It's kind of like a David and Goliath type of situation, just because the sheer size difference. Brock is a beast. We all know that. So I think this is just going to be, I think Rey will get like a few chops in. A few shots, because in the stipulation, or the, I think it's a no holds barred match, correct? And pretty much no disqualification.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Yeah, so I see him getting some shots in. I don't think it's going to be a quick, like within like a minute or 2 minutes type of thing, or a squash. I think it's going to be maybe 5-6 minutes, but I think Brock is going to just destroy Rey.
Yep, that's exactly what's going to happen. And there may be a couple of hope spots. Given the fact that this is a no-holds-barred match, tells me that this isn't going to be a Kofi Kingston special where it's 9 seconds. I think this should be probably 7 minutes or less, where maybe even that's too much. But this is going to be a match where Rey Mysterio might get one or two hope spots with a couple of weapons, given that it's a no-holds-barred match. And, oh, Brock's down. Can he get his shoulders to the mat for three? And, I mean, there'll be a couple of times where that happens, specifically with Dominic probably interfering on Rey Mysterio's behalf, given it's no holds barred. He can come in and, you know, come to his father's aid, of which I fully expect Brock Lesnar to probably F5 both men. And I mean, I think that'll be the end of that, and Rey Mysterio moves on to something else. It's interesting, though, that given this whole storyline, you would think that after this would come Cain Velasquez, but instead it's reversed, where it's, oh, right. You know, Cain right. And then Rey, but whatever. I mean, they had to have all this Saudi money invested into Cain Velasquez, and that whole, I mean, that's a whole other discussion. But it's just weird that it feels like it's backwards, but I'm fine with it. I'm actually more emotionally invested in this than I am with the Cain Velasquez Brock Lesnar match at Crown Jewel, just because I've done a really good job with this build. I mean, specifically Paul Heyman, who has sold this as he sells, you know, ice to an Eskimo. This guy is so damn good. And so I'm interested in this match from the perspective of, not really who wins, but how, you know, how Rey is portrayed, because Rey is a legend. Rey is a guy that is a, he's not Kofi Kingston. The fans, you know, while the fans were grassrooting, supporting him, Rey Mysterio is a luchador that is an absolute legend in Mexico, legend in the United States, has won the championship on several occasions in the past. I believe it was in 2005, 2006 against, against Triple H and Randy Orton. So he has done it. He has proven himself. So I think that he deserves a little more respect than getting a complete squash. So I would give it over under 6 minutes, and it's going to be a Brock Lesnar beatdown with Dominic coming to his aid, ultimately to fail.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% with everything you just said. The only thing I would just question and just throw out there just as curiosity and get your take really quick. Do you see a swerve coming with Dominic turning on Rey, or do you see just Brock destroying Dominic and Rey, or maybe Dominic's not even going to be ringside, and just pretty much like you laid out, Brock destroying Rey? Do you think Dominic turns on Rey?
I would say no. I didn't even think about that. I mean, I'm trying to think of a reason why he would, and maybe there's only a couple things I can think of. Well, Dad, you weren't able to come to my aid, and you allowed Brock Lesnar to just beat me down. What kind of father are you? Or he could say, I remember what you did to me with Eddie Guerrero, of putting custody of me up for grabs back in 2004 or whatever
Rey,
it was.
Technically, in WWE land, Rey isn't really Dominic's father.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pure craziness, I'm sure, but I mean, just... I don't know, just looking at the lineup and seeing this, you know, the stipulation no holds bar, I'm like, I don't know. Like, if it were to happen, like, this would be it. I don't know. Just a crazy thought.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. I mean, that would be, I would be intrigued as hell. I'm going to say no to that, but I wouldn't, yeah. I mean, again, Vince McMahon has done crazier things. I don't know.
And maybe if it was just up to Paul Heyman. If Vince wasn't there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, I don't know if Dominic is ready to have an actual WWE career, because if they turned him, that would mean that there's more to this story. And I don't know if he's at that level of being able to perform in a WWE ring on live television to follow up with the story. I mean, so I don't know. I'm going to say no, because there's a lot that is attached to that in the follow up that would have to be done. And I don't think they're ready to do. But so ultimately, I would say no, but intriguing, intriguing.
Yeah. All right.
That's so funny you bring that up. I didn't even think about that. So, all right. Becky Lynch versus Bayley versus Shayna Baszler. Tough one. This is honestly tough, but go ahead. I'm going to let you pick on this one, because I have been up in the air on this all day.
Yeah, you know, I'm torn, and I'm torn between two choices, and neither of them is Becky winning. I don't think I think out of all three of them, Becky is the last one who needs a victory here. So I'm torn between either Shayna winning and maybe pinning Bayley. Of course, Shayna can brag that she won the match, but Becky, of course, can say she didn't actually pin her. And, you know, so they can save that going, you know, in the future. But part of me wants to say Bayley pulls the victory out in this because Shayna and Becky are so focused on each other. Maybe Bayley gets taken out early in the match, kind of hides on ringside or maybe through an announce table or something like that, and then comes back later on, like just at the last second and steals the victory. So as much as I want to say Shayna, because I think it would be such a badass choice for them to actually have NXT sweep the night, or even just, I think Shayna probably out of all three of them needs the victory the most. So I would want to say Shayna, but for some weird reason, I feel Bayley is going to get the victory here.
Man, you know, when you brought up that explanation, I think the easy thing to say is Shayna beats Bayley, because as you said, it covers a lot of bases here. It establishes Shayna Baszler as a legit, you know, a legit women's competitor who belongs, that she is on equal footing or even higher than Bayley is. And it protects Becky Lynch, who has been protected since she won the championship at WrestleMania 35. So it keeps her out of the decision and scot-free. And Bayley, who attacks Shayna, you know, seemed a bit concerned at the look of Shayna Baszler's face after she attacked her and threw her into the stairs, and there was some fear there, and got the one-up on her, which we all know is the golden rule for you get the one-up before the pay-per-view. Typically, you would lose at the pay-per-view. So there's a lot pointing to that solution. There's a lot pointing to Shayna beating Bayley and Becky staying out of the decision, and, you know, nobody's really damaged by this, and it elevates Shayna Baszler. So that's the easy solution. So do I go with what the easy money is, or do I take a shot at, you know, could Becky, you could even make a case for Becky winning this.
Yeah.
What I would say is I think we're probably in agreement that Bayley's going to be the one to take the fall, because in the pecking order of these three champions, you could argue pretty easily that Bayley is at the third spot. And that's not no diss to her, you know, no disrespect, but that's just kind of the pecking order, at least in the presentation of this match, that Bayley is the third wheel here. So you can make a case that Becky beats Bayley, which protects Shayna. You don't want her losing, and Becky can claim that she's the supreme woman, whatever. This is tough. So it's either to me, oh, man, I'm going to go with the damn easy money like a coward, and I'm going to say that Shayna Baszler beats Bayley, and Becky Lynch tries to interfere, and just at the last second, she can't do it, and Shayna Baszler beats Bayley. And, yeah, not interesting, but I'm going to take the easy one there.
Yeah, no, I mean, one of us had to make that choice, and I was 50-50 with it, so I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it's not interesting. It's not creative. It's not out there.
You know, honestly, it's not a bad choice, but like you said, it's not the most exciting.
It's not. I'm trying to be creative, because you could make a case for all three. And honestly, like, having Bayley win may not be the worst thing in the world, because having Bayley, say, pin Becky, Becky's Teflon right now. I think Becky, there's no titles on the line, so it doesn't matter if Becky loses. So if you have Bayley win, I think Bayley needs it more than any of them, because she has turned heel and then not had a great follow-up to it. She did what we wanted her to do, and then they're like, all right, so like, well, keep going here. And they just really halted the momentum and haven't done a lot with her. So having Bayley win this, considering this whole pay-per-view is just about bragging rights, they might as well rename it that. That would, to me, be a better fit for Bayley to brag on than Becky Lynch, because it can only go so far with a babyface with a victory like this. It's just nothing more than bragging rights. So to me, Bayley needs it the most, but I think Shayna's going to end up being the victor here. So tough one. I would not put money on this match. If I was anybody out there listening, do not bet on this match. It is way too unpredictable. So
yes, not at all. Yeah, no. I agree with you. That's why maybe it's just me, like, hoping they go with Bayley, because, like you just explained, she needs it more than any of them. And pretty much her storyline and her build going into this was that people were not focusing on her. So what better way than to really seal and solidify her heel turn and run going forward would be to have her pretty much back up everything that she's been saying for the past few weeks. So it may just be me wishful thinking. And like you said, it could just go with Shayna winning, which is fine, like we said. But yeah, I'm sticking with Bayley, but I could very, very well see it being Shayna.
Yeah. This is, I mean, I keep looking at this match, and I'm convincing myself, looking at each name, of how they could win, and all of them are plausible. But all right, well, let's move on.
And really quick, and this kind of ties into our picks going forward. But so, have they mentioned how you actually win the whole night? Like what brand wins? Is it which brand wins the majority of the matches? Or is it who wins the main event? Like, okay.
This is why you're going to get me on a rant. I'm going to pretend you didn't say that.
Okay.
I'll just say that no, they have not explained that. So, we'll get there. Viking Raiders, Eric and Ivar, Raw Tag Team Champions, versus the New Day versus the Undisputed Era. My pick on this, again, not easy. It's hard when titles aren't on the line, because that's usually an indicator of who could win the match. And when you have,
which is
three,
crazy to say, think about, you know, like, the title matches are the easier ones to predict than the non-title matches.
It really is.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say I don't think the Viking Raiders here win. I just don't. Which is unfortunate, because they had a lot of momentum after they won the Raw Tag Team Championship. The crowd was with them during that match. They put on a damn good match and had a decent follow-up promo, and then they just disappeared. New Day, I honestly don't. With them as tag team champions, it doesn't do anything for me, because to me at this point, they are beyond the tag team championship. And the Undisputed Era are the up-and-comers. They're the new shiny toy. They're the NXT tag team champions. I guess I'll predict an Undisputed Era win. Again, not interesting, but to me, it's not. It's not interesting. But what's even less interesting to me is New Day winning. Who cares? I mean, if the New Day win, okay, we already know they're a great tag team. They've been together for, 5 years now. They're great. Wonderful. I mean, so they win. The Viking Raiders, they're less interesting, which is, again, unfortunate. But the way they're positioned on the show and presented, I don't see them beating and winning this match. But this could be an upset match, and that'd be fine with me. But I think right now the Undisputed Era is going to be the one to win. You?
Yeah, I agree. I think Undisputed Era needs the victory more than any other team, which is crazy to say, because the Viking Raiders need a victory as well. They're still in the process of being established themselves. I think Undisputed Era takes it here. And I'm kind of bummed that, you know, the New Day ended up beating Revival for the tag team titles and ended up in this match. No offense or no knock against them, because they're great. And it's going to be a great match. I was looking forward to the Revival being in there, because then it'll just have a completely different feel to it. I think Undisputed Era takes it here. But again, that kind of plays into my whole questioning of, and I'm not trying to get you on a rant, but the whole how does one brand win? Because that would determine my predictions here. Because if, let's say, the thing was whichever brand won the majority of the matches that they were involved in. So let's say out of whatever five matches that each brand was involved in, NXT won all five, or to win the night, that's what they would have to do, or win the majority. That would, you know, determine my predictions. But I guess, yeah, I'll just go with Undisputed Era here.
This was never explained, and it should have been, and it was never explained, because it's just WWE left it vague.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you're gonna even sell me, which I am nowhere near being sold on brand supremacy being a thing, or nor do I care about this actually, you know, being something that's on the line as a tangible victory, a tangible prize. It's not. And to believe that everyone who just suddenly gets drafted not of their own choice to a brand and suddenly decides that, oh, you're wearing the same color as me, we're cool, we're friends, and has this loyalty beyond well, you made fun of my family and threatened my family, or you ran me down with a car, but look, we're on the same brand. That matters more than any championship or personal agenda is absolute garbage. I mean, so for them to tell us that brand supremacy is on the line and then not even tell us, again, if this was something I cared about, which I don't, not even tell us how that brand supremacy would be taken and would be actually awarded to that brand, whoever won, and not tell us how that happens is also doubly bad. I mean, it's just poor storytelling upon poor storytelling. And this is what I'm talking about. I would assume that what's going to happen here is I don't see any brand getting a clean sweep. If that ever happens, it could be NXT. And if it is, then great. They can claim brand supremacy because they had a sweep. But I would assume that if it's probably going to be here and there, if SmackDown gets one, Raw gets one, and NXT gets the rest. What I would think is, oh, well, you know, the tag team division, you had, you know, the Undisputed Era claim brand supremacy there. And they'll break it off by, like, departments or sections of the brand or of the product. And that's probably what they're going to do.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
God. I honestly can't wait till after Sunday. I am looking so forward to this being over just from that perspective. The rest of the card, I mean, like I said, Brock, good. The Fiend and Daniel Bryan, we'll get to. I'm looking forward to that, too. AJ Styles, that triple threat, like, oh, I'm fine, too. But, man, this is a triple threat. I never want to see a multi-person man match again ever from WWE after this. I mean, just think about the sheer number of people in these matches. You have two matches in which you have 15 people, men and women, in each match. You have 30 people in two matches. I mean, it's just – all right, let's move. So Team Raw, we have Charlotte Flair, Natalia, Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Sarah Logan versus Sasha Banks, Team SmackDown, Carmella, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Nikki Cross versus Team NXT, Rhea Ripley it says four members to be announced, but I believe they were defined at this point. So Rhea Ripley is the team captain, and I'm so glad that WWE decided not to make that a thing this year either, that people fight over being team captain as if it gives them some kind of superpower. Yeah. So, I'm glad that that wasn't a thing this year, that people just self-appointed, and that's fine. I don't care. So what do you think about this? Who wins this? I mean, this is also kind of up in the air. I mean, I feel like a lot of these are up in the air with no championships on the line and just bragging rights. So any thoughts?
Honestly, I don't know. Like, cause my prediction would be NXT. I think it's going to be a very good match, but I think the NXT women are going to pull it out. And I think this weekend is going to be Rhea Ripley's weekend. Just how they've been showcasing her within the build these past few weeks up until this point, I think she's really going to shine here. So I think they're going to go with NXT taking the victory here. And I think my prediction is going to be that Rhea Ripley is the last woman standing for her team.
All right. I could see that. And again, maybe that is the right choice here. Maybe that is the right choice because – honestly, Team Raw with Charlotte, Natalia, Asuka, Kairi Sane, Sarah Logan, and same with Team SmackDown with all those women I just mentioned.
Yeah, it's Team not Raw gonna... is the last team who needs this victory here.
Yeah. I just don't think nobody needs this victory from teams or from SmackDown and Raw. If this is going to be a pay-per-view about a clean sweep from NXT, fine. I mean, fine. That would put them on the map, and I would actually advocate for that rather than just, you know, well, you get one, I get one, they get one, you get one, I get one, and it's all evenly split. Yeah. So if they're going to do this and do it right, as bad as the storytelling is, at least tell us a good, bad story of Team NXT doing a clean sweep and they can claim true brand supremacy, fine. I mean, I could see that actually happening. I mean, so far, you picked Bayley, but I picked Shayna Baszler, and then we picked both the Undisputed Era, and now you're picking Rhea Ripley, Team NXT. I'm going to pick the same thing because, to me, it just makes the most sense, and I just see no other way around this. Oh, my mic just went out. I see no other way around this. I just don't see how it makes sense for Team SmackDown or Team Raw to win. So even though Rhea Ripley and the members that she's with, they have been feuding on NXT, and we're all just supposed to put our differences aside. Fine, whatever. I'll buy it in NXT too. I'll just buy the crap they're selling me on that. And I just think it's NXT being put on the map. WWE knows that they have a gem in NXT. And like you said, they beat AEW this week for the first time, and congrats. But as Chris Jericho also tweeted out hilariously, said that this is a marathon, not a sprint, mocking what WWE's press release said the first week that this came out. So, God, I love Jericho. So, yes, Again, short answer is NXT wins this this 5-on-5-on-5 women's elimination match.
Yep, I agree. Now, can we please move on to The Fiend and Bray Wyatt?
Yes.
Or I'm sorry, and Daniel Bryan?
Yes. Before, don't worry, we have more triple threats to come, but yes. Let me just, well, you brought it up. What are your thoughts?
I'm so concerned about this one, and that's why I wanted to talk about it now, just because I've been thinking about it kind of when I was looking at the lineup earlier, and I'm just dying to know, like, your true prediction here, because I'm torn. Part of me, I think they're just going to have The Fiend, like, demolish. If we're going to get a squash match, I think it's going to be this one, as much as it hurts my heart to say it, because I love Daniel Bryan. But I think The Fiend is just going to just demolish Daniel Bryan here just very quickly. Because I think the last time we spoke, what my concern was going forward after his match with Seth Rollins is how does any regular human being in a regular match beat The Fiend? You know, if he can kick out of however many curb stomps and just everything that Seth put him through, how can you just, like, regularly beat The Fiend? So I see him just crushing Daniel Bryan here, and then Daniel Bryan just kind of disappearing for a while, which, again, hurts me to say, but I'm just curious to see what your prediction is. So obviously mine is The Fiend, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts after seeing SmackDown and everything that happened this week.
So, man, I think that what's going to happen here, the Fiend is, before I give my prediction out, I want to set the table. The Fiend is one of the best characters WWE has pumped out in the last 10 years. And they had a huge, huge setback with Hell in a Cell. I'm talking, I can't recall a pay-per-view in which it damaged so much in WWE's product and characters with Seth and Bray than did Hell in a Cell's finish. I'm still talking about it 2 months later or whatever it was, however long it's been. It was that bad, and it really overexposed The Fiend, who should not be in a 20-minute match, and it the whole kicking out was it hurt the product itself of professional wrestling of unbelievability. I mean, to the point of, like, okay, we've seen Undertaker do this at times, but not 12 times, right, or whatever it was.
Right.
So the believability factor completely took me out of that as well. Like, okay, this is not even believable. And then the finish, which of course we all know of, a no contest and the referee calling it, the whole thing was just a complete mess, and it still lingers to now. The stench of it has not gone away. The rebuilding, they did the right thing at Crown Jewel, putting the belt on Wyatt. But was it a little bit too little too late? And I don't know. I think it was the right decision. And they're not overexposing The Fiend, and his entrance is still badass, and he still is super intriguing on screen. When he's on the screen, you want to watch. The Firefly Funhouse is still entertaining to me. Is he as hot as he was? No, but he's getting warmer to where he should be. So with all that said, and now you have Daniel Bryan, who was a big baby face, turned heel, killed the Yes Movement, was a glorified, egotistical vegan, and then told people to recycle, and we're destroying the world, and then he's an intellectual superior with Eric Rowan, and who's now just Rowan, and then he has he's carrying around something in a cage, too, that we don't even know, and then now he's just kind of, like, in between. We don't know where he's at. He doesn't say a whole lot. So all that, with Daniel Bryan kind of lukewarm, the fans don't know where he's at. He hasn't brought the Yes Movement back. The Fiend is still babyface in the eyes of fans, and he just is. I would still say that The Fiend wins. And I'll say that The Fiend wins because The Fiend just won the championship, and it would be, I think, unfair to not let this breathe a little bit. Now, how he wins is going to be the key. Does Daniel Bryan end up being squashed? I don't know if it's a squash match. I would hope not. I don't need The Fiend running through people like that. That would damage Daniel Bryan and all the progress that he's made. I would say that it's a relatively short match. I would say that Daniel Bryan gets in some healthy offense. I need to see The Fiend more human. I don't need to see him this unbelievable, just I can take anything and still stand here. That's too much for me to bear, and it'll hurt his Bray Wyatt's character even further. So I need some vulnerability from Wyatt. And I think Daniel Bryan will be able to give you some moments where you go, yeah, this could happen. But ultimately, I think the Fiend wins. I think it's decisively, not a squash, but decisively, and Daniel Bryan goes away for a while, but not too long. And when he comes back, I think he'll revive the Yes movement. So that's my thought.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I hope you're right. And as you were kind of talking right there, it kind of made me think about what your probably one of your first questions was for me earlier about the seeds being planted here. And, you know, I think, and of course we both predicted the Fiend winning, I think if anything is going to happen between the Fiend and Undertaker for WrestleMania this year, I could see that starting here tomorrow. Again, it's just pure speculation on my part, and it very well could just be like a wishful thinking, but I could see like maybe Undertaker's music hitting, and maybe not seeing the Undertaker himself, but just like his music, like the dong or something like that. But I'd see the Fiend taking the win here. And if anything is to happen for him for WrestleMania for this year, I could kind of see it maybe starting tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, could the gong happen? It could. I mean, if you're like me and you read the wrestling rumors on the big websites, you know that the rumor right now is Roman Reigns being built up to face Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania. So
yeah.
If that's the case, I mean, I don't know how Roman Reigns interjects himself into this, but I mean, it should be a TLC or Royal Rumble that these two start to, you know, get closer to each other's paths. So if that is indeed the case where they're going for Roman Reigns versus The Fiend, which I think is I'm interested in the match. I'm interested as hell in the match. But I could see all this goodwill and progress towards Roman Reigns not being booed completely being destroyed at WrestleMania because the fans will turn on Roman Reigns in a heartbeat for The Fiend, especially if the championship's on the line, because they'll remember, oh, yeah, that's right. We don't like Roman when it comes to, you know, characters that we support organically, and where, you know, I think all of that bad, all those bad vibes will come back to Roman. But again, that's, we're talking about a match 5 months that hasn't even been announced. Could the gong happen? Yeah, I mean, it could. There was hints at one of the Firefly Funhouses. We all remember he changed the clock from 3:16 to 11:19, and we all know what that date is for. So could it happen? Maybe. It could happen. Something's going to happen in this match that I think leads us to Bray Wyatt's potential next opponent. I think that that's probably what's going to come out of this. I just don't know how or what. And it's, as I'm looking at the stipulation here, this is not a no-holds-barred. This is a straight-up match.
Right.
There are rules in this match, so which is what I want to see, too. I don't need to see the Fiend in, you know, constant hardcore Hell in a Cell, you know, no-holds-barred matches, so it'll be interesting to see under the confines of an actual match how the Fiend fares. But Daniel Bryan ultimately loses this, and I think he goes away for a little while. So,
yeah, I agree.
Oh, man. So back to this lovely triple threat pay-per-view. We have Team Raw. On the men's side, we have Team Raw, Rollins, McIntyre, Owens, Orton, and Ricochet versus Team SmackDown, Roman Reigns, Mustafa Ali, Strowman, Corbin, and Shorty G versus Team NXT. I'm going to take a breath and toss this to you. I mean, honestly, maybe this one's a little bit not – you can make a case maybe for NXT not winning this, but I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of see Team SmackDown taking the victory here. If they're not going to go with the NXT sweep in the night, I can kind of see SmackDown taking it here. I just see people like Mustafa Ali and Shorty G just kind of needing this victory here more than maybe any of the other brands again. But I don't think we know the exact lineup for the NXT team though, correct? We don't think we know any of the guys.
I'm
trying to look that part up now.
I know. I was trying to find that, too. I don't see the guys outlined.
I meant to look that up earlier. Because I think that's still to be determined. So I think that kind of maybe would sway my choice here. But I think right now. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think Adam Cole, I believe, is probably the team captain on that, wasn't he?
No, I think he's going to be facing Pete Dunne or whoever.
Oh, no, 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 he is. He's facing, yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah, Pete Dunne. Yeah. So yeah. What are the guys? Hold on.
So I don't. So that's kind of that's what makes me kind of leery to make a firm choice here. But as of right now, I guess I would go SmackDown without knowing who the actual team is for NXT.
Yeah. I mean,
which is kind of surprising to me. Like they don't have anyone listed. Because it can't be like five surprises, obviously. So I don't know. I'm just kind of interested to see who ends up being on the team, unless I'm completely missing something here.
Well, I think it's going to ultimately come down to Randy Orton, who is just a mainstay in elimination matches. I love the way Randy Orton is just a magician when it comes to these five-on-five elimination matches. And he has a history of being either the sole survivor or next to last survivor. So I think it's maybe could come down to Orton versus Reigns. And again, I'm looking for the NXT members and I just don't see them. Yeah. But it could come down to probably one of those three. And ultimately, Randy Orton, I could see turning on his own team. Randy Orton just has that in him. There's something going on with Randy Orton that is different from what his past character has been in the last few years. He has been featured a little bit more in terms of this is a legacy star. This is a guy that, yeah, we all know who and what he is, but there's something happening with Randy Orton. I think they planted a seed a few weeks ago about, you know, telling Ricochet that don't let me get in your head. There's something there, I think, and maybe I'm reading more into it, but I think Randy Orton can play a larger role than we think in this match, because when we look at it, we go, oh, Randy Orton, yeah, he'll give a couple RKOs and ultimately, you know, get eliminated. But I don't know. Maybe he could cost his own team the match, but we'll have to see. So those are my thoughts. I think my prediction, man, I'm just going to go.
It's so hard.
I'm going to go balls to the wall and just go all out here and say Team NXT wins. And they clean sweep the night. And I think Randy Orton is going to cost his own team or get the RKO and have Team NXT capitalize and get the victory off the RKO. So I think that's how it ends. Interestingly, though, I don't know. It's hard in these so many damn people with Rollins and Reigns there. They're clearly, I mean, I don't know. Could they also take the fall? Probably not. But I don't know. So that's my prediction. Randy Orton hits an RKO. Team NXT capitalizes and wins.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I hope so, because I think NXT needs, you know, the wins here more than anyone else. But for me, I wouldn't be surprised for them to kind of give Shorty G and Ali. And I could be overthinking that because they probably don't. I'm not going to say they don't care about them, because obviously they do. But their focus right now isn't on them. But yeah, I could very well see NXT taken here.
Yeah, I mean, I'll, again, this is just too much triple threat for me. I can't handle this. And honestly, I'm also thinking about how is this actually going to work from a logistics standpoint as far as 5-on-5-on-5. If you have three guys in the ring, assumingly there'll be three guys in the ring at all times. I would that they can only tag their team, their own team. I would guess that's the case, right? They can't just tag anybody and have them enter the match. I mean, that wasn't ever clarified either, because I've seen matches where that happens, and I don't know. I would assume they can only tag in people that are on their team, but that was never clarified. So,
I don't know. See, like you said, I could see maybe, like, you know, a bad guy, like a heel, tagging in when the other guy was in the ring, you know, like something like that. But because they obviously didn't give us like a set of rules or anything here yet. And then maybe they will tomorrow when the pay-per-view actually starts, or like in a pre-show or something. But yeah, as of right now, I'm not sure. I would assume, like you said, that you have to tag your own partner.
Or,
that would make no sense.
Yeah, you would think, but you know, it's crazy that I should have to think like this. But I've seen matches in which you can tag anybody in, and they have to be, you know. So again, they bend the rules when they need them. But the other thing is, and I know we're not at the Rumble yet, but when they have guys who are eliminated and they leave the match, come in and eliminate people that are still in the match, like that kind of thing. How does that happen, right? Like, how does that happen? You can't. It's as if, you know, you're playing football, and you know, I end up being injured and I'm officially out of the game. And then I come in and I interfere in a pass to the team that I'm opposing. Yeah, I'm out of the game and they call it, oh, well, you know, he didn't catch the pass. It's like, right. Well, you're out of the game. It's like a fan interfering. Right. They are no longer relevant. So I'll save that rant for another month and a half. But, again, that happens every year. So, all right. Well, down to this match here that you called possibly the match of the night. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura versus Roderick Strong. Yeah, this has potential match of the night written all over it. Who wins, though?
Man, this one was actually pretty hard for me to make a decision on here. I could see AJ winning because I could see him bragging about it. I could see any of them winning and bragging about it, honestly. But I think here they're going to go Shinsuke Nakamura. I think Shinsuke, oddly enough, needs it more than any of them, just to establish his role right now in his reign as Intercontinental Champion. Which, by the way, that new title is, in my opinion, is just beautiful. I just think it's so well done. I didn't really think that they needed to replace the title, but I think it's a beautiful title nonetheless. But yeah, I think Shinsuke pulls it out here, and I do think this is going to be match of the night. Maybe besides the women's match, the triple threat. But yeah, I definitely think this is going to be match of the night, and I think Shinsuke pulls it out here. And I can see Sammy just bragging about this for weeks on end.
Very possible. I would say that's my number two choice. The only reason I'm going with Roderick Strong here is because I'm continuing with my theme of the NXT sweep. And I think that Roderick could, if he's going to pin somebody, I think AJ Styles is probably the better candidate, given that Shinsuke seems to be on the upswing. And I don't need Shinsuke to lose another match. So Roderick should pin AJ Styles, in my opinion, and keep Shinsuke out of it. And continue with the sweep. I think AJ Styles can lose AJ Styles right now is just kind of part of the OC. They're the only one that comes to Raw's aid inexplicably. And they, like, AJ Styles is a bit Teflon. I think that he can take this loss and it wouldn't hurt him a damn bit and we all move on with our lives. So I think Roderick Strong is probably going to take the victory. And as you said, the new IC title, it's one of those things we didn't know we needed. And when you look at it, like you said, yeah. I mean, I'm not huge on titles the way they look, although I hated the spinner belt for like 8 years. it was like a toy to me when John Cena did it. It just cemented
the US
further.
And the heavyweight championship.
It cemented further why I just despise his babyface character. And as brilliant as he is on the mic, and he's a talented guy, hard work, all that kind of stuff. That was, to me, a complete devaluation of the championship. But that's, again, another show. So, yeah, it's one of those things I didn't know we needed. And I look at it and I go, I'm on board for that. I mean,
yeah,
it's all right. Yeah, and it made it feel a little bit more up to date and it made it feel a little bit more valuable. And, yeah, yes, it doesn't always instantly make the championship, you know, more prestigious. But when you give something a new fresh coat of paint, sometimes that can work wonders. And I'm fine with this. I would think that it's anything right now that it can help Shinsuke is something I'm on board for. So Roderick Strong beats AJ Styles and continues with the sweep.
Yeah. Hey, I hope you're right. I hope NXT does sweep it the whole night. I mean, last year we saw that it doesn't really matter, but I think it's different this year. So I think, if any brand is going to sweep, obviously it should be NXT, just with all the implications and everything going on around, you know, Wednesday night in and of itself. So yeah, I hope you're right, and I hope it is a sweep for NXT.
I do too, because that's the only good thing that can come out of all of this total nonsensical, unbelievable, awful storytelling of this. Oh, it's November. We got to all hate each other because we're on different brands. Like, this is the only good thing that can come out of it is a clean sweep for NXT, because I think the benefits of that completely outweigh any other victories that any other team can get, because everyone will bounce back. Everybody's going to go back to their own worlds, go back to, you know, oh, I'm on Raw, I'm on SmackDown, I'm on NXT, and I'm fine with that. That's the way it should be. So it'll all be forgotten, and we'll move on to TLC. And, oh, you get a chairs match, you get a tables match, I get a ladder match because it's just the pay-per-view. So we'll get on to that, and this will be forgotten. But I don't think it'll be lost on fans if there's a clean sweep from NXT, because they're the ones that need to – this would benefit them more than take away from the losses of Raw and SmackDown teams. I think there's a big net gain here for NXT to win all of their matches, and it would not hurt SmackDown or Raw and at all in any of the competitors. Everyone will bounce back just fine, but I think it would hurt NXT to lose these matches more than it would hurt Raw or SmackDown to lose them.
I agree with you 100%, man. I hope that's the route that they go. Like you said, that's the most logical route at this point. If it's truly going to be about which brand is more dominant right now, NXT needs to be the dominant brand. I mean, because it really doesn't mean anything, and I don't mean to say that in a negative way. Like, there really is nothing truly at stake. So if it truly is just bragging rights, then I don't see why SmackDown or Raw would need to have bragging power over NXT. So I hope that they go that direction for sure.
No, nobody needs bragging rights other than NXT, and people were speculating about Triple H getting interfering, and he's going to compete at Survivor Series. I don't need Triple H competing, and I don't see that. No, and Triple H doesn't want Triple H to compete because it's not about Triple H anymore. Right. And he is the brainchild. He is the father of NXT. We all know that. It's not something that Triple H should be intimately involved with on that level, because that to me would take the shine away from the guys and gals that do deserve it, that have brought this brand up to what it is and have worked their ass off to make it what it is. And yes, Triple H has worked behind the scenes, and this was his vision, and of course that's important. But from a physical standpoint, it's not about his generation anymore. So I'm glad that that's not something that happened, and I really hope it's not a surprise thing that happens tomorrow night. So, all right, well, one more match to go, and that is Adam Cole versus Pete Dunne. My thoughts? I think Adam Cole wins. I think he retains. And he should. It's Adam Cole, baby, and that's the way it's going to be. And I think, yes, Pete Dunne is a credible competitor, and I think they could put on a really good match. But Adam Cole right now is the face of NXT. He's the NXT champion. He has made a splash on SmackDown a number of times in his matches with Seth Rollins and specifically Daniel Bryan. I expect good things from this match, but I just see zero reason to take the championship off Cole at this point.
I absolutely agree with you. I think Adam Cole has been pretty much the primary focus from the NXT brand throughout the invasion angles. I mean, like I said earlier, a few other people have gotten their shine as well. And I don't mean it in a negative way at all, but Adam Cole should be the focus. He's your heavyweight champion. I think if Pete Dunne had been more involved and had shown up more within the build to SummerSlam, and we had just seen his face more, so like your people who don't watch NXT would have an understanding of Pete Dunne, or at least know his name. Because I think a lot of people, maybe not in Chicago tomorrow night, just because of Chicago being just a wrestling city in and of itself, but I think a lot of your people at home aren't going to know really who Pete Dunne is. They may have heard of his name, but I don't think the majority of them will. And I think it's going to be a great match. But I think Adam Cole needs to win here. He needs to keep the title. And just really quick, I can't think about the schedule that he's been on and all the NXT guys themselves, and just the crazy just traveling schedule WWE has had within the past month. For that reason alone, I hope Adam Cole wins, because he deserves this.
Oh my God, the travel schedule, when you look at where they've gone and what they've done, oh my God, from like Saudi Arabia.
Just thinking about it, yeah. Like
where it really has made me step back when I look at, like, oh my God, they're in the UK, but they're back in Boston, then they're in Saudi Arabia, and back in, like, it's just like, holy crap, guys. I mean,
and Adam Cole is wrestling back to back to back.
Yeah. I'm sure that these guys and gals are going to be sore as hell come tomorrow night. I'm not talking about from a storyline perspective. I'm talking from like a human element here.
Yeah.
Like, just from the perspective of, like, these are people. I mean, yeah, storylines are all that kind of stuff. We can complain about it and all that, whatever, or love them. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at their travel schedule and how much they're competing, and you know they're busting their ass, and you know they're sore, it's stuff that you, as a fan, sometimes forget. I mean, but when I looked at their schedule and looked at how much they're competing and how much they're traveling, I actually, it took a second. I'm like, oh my God, like, guys.
It must be a lot of time. Like, it's not like they're going from Saudi Arabia back to the United States, back to the United Kingdom, like, within, like, a year. It's within a month and a half.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's just, man, you know, sometimes, like you said, I think we all, as fans, forget just the work and just the time and the sacrifice that these guys and girls, like, and people behind the scenes, too, just that they put into this, and it's just amazing. But, man, I couldn't even imagine being in that type of environment and that schedule. But yeah, that's another reason why I hope Adam Cole wins this. Just because, of course, Pete Dunne deserves it as well. Don't get me wrong, not discounting him at all. But I just think right now this would be just the perfect ending for Adam Cole's build within this past few weeks.
Oh no, yeah, no question, no question. And you know, like you said with the travel, I'm complaining about my 12-minute ride to work. Oh, I got, you know,
right?
Traffic. You know, like, I feel like such a, you know,
getting
a baby.
Stuck at the red lights and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's so minor when you're
Oh my God,
it.
I hit the red light on the way to work. It cost me another minute.
Right.
And meanwhile, you know, they're on the plane for 16 hours and then get stuck in Saudi Arabia with God knows what actually happened there, and then come back to the United States, go back to the United Kingdom, go back to Boston to, like, and I'm sitting here like, damn this red light. And I feel like such a tool, right?
Right,
like, you know, I mean, so it's all perspective. But, you know, sometimes when you look at that kind of stuff, it makes you really appreciate just how tough what they do is. It's not just what happens in the ring. It's 98% of their time is not in the ring. It's you know, working out or making sure they're eating right. Or,
yeah, that's probably,
you know,
the easy part, being in the ring, if you think about it for them. You know?
Yeah, well, that's what they spend 98% of their time doing, is to get that 2% of time in the ring. It's just crazy, and people think, oh, it's just all about in the ring. No, there's promos you got to cut. There's management. There's issues. There's what's going on at home. Have you talked to your wife or husband? What's going on with your kids? You know, you're missing birthdays and anniversaries and all this kind of stuff, and you're traveling. You're tired. You got to compete. You got to work out. You got to get your car. You got to get off the plane, get your baggage. Like, all this stuff that we all just, you know, all we do is just sit and or whatever, and, you know, pull up Hulu, pull up USA Network, pull up Fox, and we just watch our shows, and we just take for granted that, oh, here they are again. But you don't realize all the effort it took to get there. I mean, so I don't know. So props to those guys and gals to being able to put up with the schedule and just the just awful, almost brutal schedule that they have at times, and the physicality, and then they're beat up, and then you got to deal with injuries. It's crazy.
Yeah, man, it really is. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Ugh, man, now I have a lot more respect for these guys the more I think about it, because as a fan, it's easy. It's easy to get, you know, get involved in the storylines and forget about these human beings that are going through this. So, all right. Well, Ashley, was there anything else I missed to talk about Survivor Series or that you wanted to bring up?
No, I think we covered everything. But by the way, I did look up when TLC is, and it's on December 15th. And if I'm not mistaken, 3 weeks out is December 14th. So I think it is the next prediction show.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that is awesome. So we are going to continue.
We will.
Oh,
it's so crazy.
That's nuts. And then I don't know about Rumble. We'll get there when we get there.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Usually the Rumble, the time between the December TLC pay-per-view and Rumbles usually be a little bit longer. It's like 4, sometimes 5 weeks. So I think we'll break our streak there. But all right. Well, that sounds like a plan with TLC right before the holidays. So
yeah, sounds great.
All right. Well, Ashley, thanks again so much for coming on. I know that it's always a blast. Listeners love you. And I also want to make sure that you get a chance to plug the other podcast that you do that's on Facebook and lots of other platforms.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. It's Wrestle Rewind. We are live Thursdays at 8:30 on Facebook, where you can listen to us on pretty much any podcast app that you have access to pretty much immediately after. So just search for Wrestle Rewind. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at @ashmanns. Feel free to give me a follow. I'll follow you back and we can talk wrestling or whatever. But yeah, it's always a blast coming in and talking wrestling with you, man, especially with these prediction episodes. I can't wait to see what actually happens tomorrow night, because at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a great show. And I think each match is going to have its moment. So I'm excited to see how it turns out.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the quality of matches is going to be high because the talent level is so good. I just think we're going to be burned out of triple threat after this.
For sure.
Triple threat is just going to, it's not even going to be a phrase that I want to hear again. I mean, I'm talking years.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about a triple threat match again. But so, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. But Ashley, look, it's been a blast. And we'll see you on the other side. And just before TLC, which I'm very interested to see what the landscape is like at that point.
Me too. Who knows with how crazy this world has been lately. It could be a complete 180 between now and then. So we'll see.
Awesome. Well, hopefully the next time we talk, maybe we would have seen CM Punk, although I could
probably.
Yeah.
That'd be all great. Right.
Ashley, you have a good night, and we will talk in a few weeks.
Sounds great. Take care.
You too. Bye.